ਡੂੰਘੇ ਦਰਦ ਜੁਦਾਈਆਂ ਦੇ ਤੇ ਕੱਢ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਨੇ ਜਾਨ ਡੂੰਘੇ ਦਰਦ ਜੁਦਾਈਆਂ ਦੇ ਤੇ ਕੱਢ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਨੇ ਜਾਨ
So hi and welcome to You Podcast. My name is Asim Brady and today again I'm joined with Shai. Hi Shai.
Hey Asim.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, you can see me in my pajamas, but nobody else can. You lucky, lucky man.
That's the advantage of an audio podcast, right? You're in your pajamas, I'm in my shalwar kameez, we're all good.
Comfortable.
Yeah. So this episode we're talking about Mirzia. Which is kind of really cool because we never get the chance to see a movie kind of in advance and give it some time to gestate and think about things and all that. So it's really cool. It's coming out. I mean, it's premiering on the London Film Festival on the 6th of October. And then it's also coming out in India, worldwide release very soon. It's directed by Rakesh Om Prakash Mehra. He directed Dilli 6, Rang De Basanti, Ux, Bhag Milka Bhag. It stars Anil Kapoor's son, Harsh Vardhan Kapoor, Saimi Kher, and who else is there in it? That's it, right?
Om Puri. Yeah. Did you say Om Puri?
Yeah. No. I didn't want to mention his name because he doesn't really star. It's not like in...
No, Dalton Rain.
Yeah. So,
Art Malik.
Oh, yeah, Art Malik. Yeah, Art Malik, yeah. So, it's based on the popular folklore of Soni Mahiwal. No, sorry, not Soni Mahiwal. Mirza Sahiba. Which is kind of like part of this, a North Indian folklore love stories, which there are a few. You know, Soni Mahiwal, Leela Majnu, Sissi Pannu. Mirza Sahiban and Hir Ranjha, I think those are the five or six main ones. I might be forgetting some. So, Shai, first question, did you know the story?
No.
Of Mirza Sahiban?
I'm very, very uneducated in the zone of it and everything. I knew that it would be like a Romeo and Juliet kind of story, yeah. So that I was prepared for, and I was a bit wary when the way that it was described in the a London Film Festival brochure. It was just like, so just like every other Bollywood film then, like forbidden love story, and oh, their parents disagree, and yeah, so I was just like, okay, let's see what it's like, Gyamathak is still one of my favorite films, and that's quite typical, but, yeah.
Which is also pretty much Romeo and Juliet, right? I mean, it's not anything much different than that, right? Yeah. It's funny because, Western culture has one love story like that, Romeo and Juliet. We have seven. That's how we do it, We just multiply it. We have seven. What are you going to do with one? So... Yeah, it's a funny one. I'd heard of the story, but I wasn't as... I mean, I get them confused, because they all have these one, like, Majnu went crazy, he got stoned, and then I think another was with a earthen pot that they used to cross a river, and then there were two lovers that got engulfed by an earthquake, and then this Mirza Sahiban was with the arrows. So it all just kind of gets a mishmash. I don't remember which one was swimming with the pots and which one was shooting arrows. So I had heard these stories, and it's always funny because for a culture that tells these stories and tells these stories to children very early, I'd heard these stories when I was very young. We're not very much a culture that is in favor of, falling in love and, getting married that way. So it's just a funny thing that on the one side, it's part of folklore and we make songs and movies about it. But the reality is that in day to day, it's not something that, our parents would necessarily want for us. So, yeah, it's just a funny contrast. And I think it's one of those contrasts that's also contrast being a main theme of this movie, I would say. So let's just go with general thoughts. What did you think of Mirzia? Let's keep spoilers to the end, although if you know the story,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I have to be honest and say I wasn't a huge fan of it, like, from about 5-10 minutes into it and everything, I was just like, okay, so far so typical, and, you know, very wooden dialogue, which later after speaking to you, I realized that it was more poetry rather than dialogue. So I think that's what it was. Like, I'm kind of from the school of, like, if I'm watching a film, I'd like it to have realistic dialogue rather than, like, your face is like the moon. You know, just like, you know, blood of my heart. No, that's yeah, just so that, yeah, it's probably a personal taste thing, I think, in terms of, like, you know, being a fan of pretty things, and then, you know, graphics and things like that. Like 300 I wasn't a huge fan of, but lots of people loved it, and, you know, the whole poetry of dialogue and everything, I can't really hook onto as a watcher, as a viewer. Yeah.
Do you when you're watching a Bollywood movie, are you reading the subtitles or are you listening to the dialogues mostly? How do you, or is it a combination? Or
I think a combination, because I understand the dialogue. Mm-hmm. But then I think just because the words are there, it's just like, you know, due to the price of one, so...
Yeah, your eyes automatically go towards it, right? Yeah, I have the same thing when I'm watching Dutch TV. I understand the language totally, but I'll still be reading the subtitles in Dutch, which is just absurd. But it's just because, you know, as Europeans, we're just used to watching movies with subtitles, so our eyes just kind of float towards it. Okay. So, and what did you think of the main actors, Harshvardhan and Simon here? I mean, it's their debut, both of them. Especially Harshvardhan comes from, you know, acting stock from a legendary actor, Anil Kapoor. I think we all grew up on his movies and probably all big fans of his. So it comes with this expectation, especially for, you know, it becomes a star son. How did you think that they did in the movie?
Again, I don't feel as if they were amazing. Harshvardhan, is that his name?
Harshvardhan. Let's just call him Harsh because it's a very long name. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I felt, you know, he did the best that he could with what he had, but he didn't seem to have the masculinity to really sort of, like, you know, do justice to that role and everything. Like, in terms of anger, you couldn't really... He seemed like really... what's the word, stroppy teenager, rather than, you know, a heartbroken sort of, like, you know, angry man. And you know, I think somebody like Sushant Singh Rajput may have done a bit better in that kind of role, and even Ranbir Kapoor, I think, would have, you know, he's got that angry young man kind of thing going, and also romantic lead quality. So, but then, I mean, Sonam Kapoor, I wasn't won over by her at all until, like, Nirja. And even Nirja, she wasn't perfect, but she's definitely improving. You can't, you know, ban nepotism, but I can believe that there are many, many talented, more worthy actors out there who aren't getting their break because, you know, unlike the sons and daughters of Bollywood celebrity-dom. So,
Yeah.
Oh, and Sayami. Sayami, okay, I mean, she definitely looks the part. She's got the complete, you know, Bollywood look about her, like a cross between Deepika Padukone and Isha Gupta, I'd say. But again, in terms of acting, especially with the flashbacks, when it sort of, like, goes back to the fantasy thing, it's just, she's got this one expression on her face, and it doesn't actually change. It's just like, oh, my hero is coming, and then it's just... I don't know, you know, also, you know, I'm not happy with the editing in that sense either, because it just, there's so many long lingering shots where they just do not need to be held that long, or really, really, like, you know, 300 style, slow moving, like, oh, look at the water coming off that knife, and it's just so rout and OTT that it just doesn't need to be done. The film could have been half the length if they actually stuck to normal speed filming.
I think we're complete opposites on this film, right? And I think we kind of realized that yesterday after the screening, and I think I seem to be in the minority here when I kind of gauge the rest of the people and the critics there, it seems.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
majority of these people I spoke to yesterday all really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good to hear. Okay. Yeah, because I worry about this film. I think it's like the movies that even Sonam Kapoor has been doing. It's slightly offbeat with the sensibilities of the Indian box office, I feel. And I think it's kind of, for me, it's really what the best of Bollywood is, I feel. It's very entrenched in our cultural values, the way we see things, you know, without making it too overt, and it is beautiful without being lost in the beauty, you know, and not having the emotions to back it up, where I feel that is something that Sanjay Leela Bhansali does a lot. He dazzles us so much with the visuals that a lot of time the storytelling, the emotions behind it, for me, feel very, very empty. And he has some great actors, and they're putting in a performance, but because the screenplay is just very weak, it's just not there for Sanjay Leela Bhansali. I think what I really love about him, I feel he's that kind of combination between Sanjay Leela Bhansali, but also Raju Hirani. He kind of has that, because Raju Hirani has awesome movies, the way they're written, but visually they lack a bit, you know, and the songs are never that great. But, and SLB is like the totally opposite, you know, it looks great, the songs are great, and I think Rakesh, in most of his movies, gels those two things together, and I think in Mirziya he succeeds with that too, to a certain degree. I think the soundtrack is amazing of this.
That I can agree with, the sound is, yeah. The songs are just genius.
I don't necessarily feel that they're used perfectly in the movie, especially no. Daleer Mehndi's alaps get a bit grating after a while. Every time it's just like Mirziya, like it just does not stop being Mirziya. So it becomes a bit much, and I think that being a bit much can also be attributed to the way that they intercut the folklore of it, because I think the trailer does a disservice to this movie, because it really feels that it's two separate movies and half is in the past and half is now, when it's not really. The movie is set in contemporary India, but it has links towards the folklore that happened before, and that folklore segment is really just 20 minutes spread out throughout the entirety of the movie. 20, maybe 30 minutes, not more than that, but because there's so much slow motion, it just feels much, much longer than it is.
But that's what sells the film in terms of spectacle and like, wow, visuals, check this out, it's all, you know, epic, and you should watch it because of this, because all this stuff modern day is very normal.
Very much. And I think the cool part of the folklore element is that it's totally silent. It's a silent movie. Beautifully done, but totally silent. There's no dialogues, and there's these odd things where Saimi Kher's brothers are all Caucasian. But it works because we're kind of in this fantasy land, and also even Saimi Kher's look is kind of, you know, it's not very necessarily Indian. It doesn't feel Indian to me, at least, but that's fine. That's not a problem. But I'm just saying that it worked that she had brothers that were clearly Caucasian or Eastern European, or I don't know what they were, but that part really was beautiful. It starts in the folklore of it. Almost, there's a little bit of an intro, but then this folklore story starts, and the visuals are just so amazing. I was blown away by them straight away. Then we go into the contemporary part, and kind of when they start as kids, because that's an element of Mirza Sahiban, that they were together from childhood. So they kind of transport that to today. And it does have a bit of that gruff, dusty, Western, like Indian Western look that Ishak Zadeh also had with Arjun Kapoor. He was kind of looking very like dirty and like scruffy. And I think that's kind of the aesthetic that they try to emulate. The two things I love about it, I think two guys that deserve an award on this movie is A, the location scout. And B, the DOP. The way you see locations like Jodhpur and these forts and the city that they're in and where they are, the deserts of Rajasthan. It's beautiful. And yeah. I mean, we've been seeing Bollywood movies for 30, 40 years, all of our lifetime, and they still present Jodhpur, Rajasthan in ways that I had never seen before. And I think that that's amazing. And the way it's shot, it, like, especially the folklore element and the way when they're having the whole shootout with the arrows and stuff like that. I mean, it's a stupid way to explain it, but it is on par with any Hollywood movie that would, you know, like, think of the Battle of the Bastards episodes on Game of Thrones, you know? I don't know if you watched it.
I don't know.
I feel it's like, it's almost on that level, you know? It's really beautiful to look at. So those were like 3-4 things that stood out for me. I think I agree with you. Harsh is still a bit raw. And I think the way his look was, it was very much emulating his dad's Tezab period.
Ramlakhan,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tezab, Ramlakhan, you know, kind of scruffy, like leather jacket and bike and all that. But Anil Kapoor felt like a gunda. Like, he felt like, you know, like somebody that, you know, could, like, punch
him.
Harsh never had that for me. He never felt like a ruffian. He just felt like an actor putting on, you know, a look, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think a bit of work is needed, but I was just thinking, like, that kind of roughness, no contemporary Bollywood actor has that anymore. Like, none of them feel like men to me, you know? They all still seem like boys. Maybe Ranveer Singh gets the closest, but he's just so jovial and happy. I have not just seen anger from him yet.
Have you seen Aurangzeb?
Yeah, I have. Arjun Kapoor. Yeah.
Arjun Kapoor actually did pretty well.
I love Aurangzeb, by the way. I love... Nobody likes or talks about that movie. I think Aurangzeb is awesome.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. See? Another film we agree on. We should take a tally of these. There's been two so far.
We need to give a list, because... Aurangzeb, the movie nobody talks about, we agree upon. Aurangzeb is really good, and it's like very like... Like a throwback to old Bollywood too, you know, like twins and all that kind of thing. If I ever meet Arjun Kapoor, I'm going to tell him how much I like that movie. And I think he's going to be happy because nobody's talking about that one.
Another angry role, which was amazing, Varun Dhawan. What's it called?
Badlapur.
He was amazing in that. That was the one film which I just thought, yes, you are actually very good.
Yeah, no, I think they can play angry. I agree, they can play angry, but they cannot play rough, like Anil Kapoor or Jackie Shroff, you know, those gundas, the street ruffians?
Yeah.
You know, they have like a scarf on their hand and the collar popped up. I just don't feel that kind of, you know, they're all just like posh boys to me, like putting on, you know, I don't know, maybe they need a bit of time, or they're maybe not making those movies anymore, or those people don't exist in India anymore, I don't know. But,
yeah.
You know, like, the South actor does that really, he feels like it. The guy that, oh god, people are gonna kill me for this, but I don't even remember his name, the guy from Ranjana?
Dhanush,
you know? Yeah. He feels like a street kid, you know? But I don't think any Bollywood actor has that anymore, unfortunately, and yeah. I think he still needs a bit more work, I think. He looks great. I think, right? Women like him, right? Like, people
think so.
I don't know.
Although, I'm not going to lie, I did actually look at, because I think we've just been so, sort of like, not spoilt, I wouldn't say, but there's just so many biceps and so many, like, quads that you see on guys in Bollywood these days and everything. When you actually look at his, body and stuff, it's quite normal, which is good.
Yeah,
it makes me feel
yeah.
better about, you know, being normal rather than needing, you know, a six pack and all of this and everything. But yeah, you know,
like if it was Ranveer Singh, it would be like six pack everywhere, you know, that kind of thing. And he had no pack, basically. There was no pack. But yeah, it was kind of cool. Even as a warrior, I didn't think he was ripped or anything like that. But then again, he was playing an archer, so I don't think it's necessary to have that physique, that Bajirao Mastani physique or whatever. I think Siami looked more buff than him. Like, she was telling me in an interview yesterday that she was a marathon runner and she did CrossFit for the role and stuff like that. And she seemed more like a warrior princess than Harshvardhan did, to be honest.
Most definitely. I mean, she did look very in shape.
Yeah.
I think that's good enough to say. Yeah. Okay.
We shouldn't get in trouble for that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She was very in Yeah, let's just do it. I think we should just put these in intervals.
Yeah, I know. We should just get like a sample of the little Mendy screaming. Man, this must be really annoying for the people listening. I'll not do that again. But I think. I mean, who else was there? I really liked... what did you think of Art Malik? I'll be honest, I haven't... People in UK love Art Malik. I don't get it because I probably missed the part where he was popular or something. Like, I was not in England, so I don't have that kind of thing that people love Art Malik.
I don't have strong feelings towards him. I mean, there's no hate or love. I think, you know, the same kind of affinity that I probably have towards, like, Om Puri or... Anupam Kher.
Yeah.
And Sai Jeffrey and everything, you know. I don't feel that much of an affinity towards Art Malik. Don't know why. But yeah, he's okay. He didn't seem like really over the top. He just did what he did. But you said that, what's it, the accents didn't do it for you? Or
yeah, I think generally for me, the accents in this movie didn't work. I didn't think... Art Malik's Urdu accent is any good? The thing is, like, I feel Art Malik, like, I don't know him, man. Like, I think he's a very capable actor, and he feels like a very kind of theater Shakespearean actor. And that's why probably he's loved and well known. But I think his affinity with Bollywood, like his leveling wasn't correct. Like he was going on 11 when he should have been going on 9, like the way he was spitting out dialogues. I don't think he could find the right balance in how a Bollywood performance should be. And I think he was struggling with that. And I think he was great in the English dialogues, which he had a lot of, more than anybody, I think. I think with the Urdu dialogue, he was maybe struggling a bit with the pronunciation, but also the way he was bringing those dialogues, it feels like he was spitting them all out, and it just never really worked for me. He also didn't seem like this would be like a... You know, like a low-level police officer at the start and then became a commissioner. It just never...
Yeah.
He always seemed royalty or something to me. I just couldn't figure out his role that well.
That was really random, actually. Like, there are a lot of coincidences, and I think this is another big thing of mine. What's it called? When something annoys you? Let's just call it... Pet peeve, that's the one. Yeah, of, you know, adaptations or like, you know... you know, stuff that have been done before, adaptations, is that they try so hard to stick to the source material that they don't actually think what is going to make a better film and everything. And I know that they were trying to sort of, like, you know, stay true to the original source in terms of, like, oh, they met as children and then met later on and everything, but it just... Anything that takes you out of a film that makes you think this isn't actually believable, you just stop being as... glued to the screen as you would be otherwise, because you're just like, that makes no sense. How are they both in the same place again?
I think also it cuts the narrative flow of the movie, and I think that is something that if you're not, like, I was on board with this movie within 5 minutes, and I loved it from the start. But I think for example, you and a lot of other people, there's so many breaks in the narrative. You have the folklore, then you have the Greek chorus dancers, then you have the childhood part, then you have the modern retelling. So you have four different frameworks working within the same movie, and it just intercuts every time. And I think, and then you have the Leila Mendy in the background, so that's five things, you know. So there's the musical motif on top of it, and I think in their mind it all made sense. And I feel what they were trying to go was kind of, you know, a theater play kind of Greek chorus approach, interludes and all that. But I think in a movie it just becomes too much, and I think or cut out the child part, or cut out the Greek chorus, or tone down the limb, and you do one of these things, you know, but mm-hmm. having all of them together, if people are not on board, or, you know, they're not, you know, you haven't enough goodwill with them, I think it can be a long, long film to sit through if they're kind of bored. So, yeah it's, I get it. A lot of the people that don't like it or feel that it was too long or, you know, they lost interest, I get it, because the movie does not make it easy for you as a viewer. And yeah, I think the child segment was necessary because they wanted to have the setup of the story. But then again, the payoff of it, like, I'm trying not to spoil things, but there's a reason that Mirza Sahib, the child, Suchi and Adil, I know it's not Adil, it's
Munish.
Suchi and Munish split up. And when they find each other again, the resolution happens quite quickly. There doesn't seem to be that much, because it was a huge event why they split up. And it seems to be pretty non-consequential for anybody. Like, they just kind of get on with their lives. And mm-hmm. that was kind of a weird one, I felt. I felt it would have more weight, and that's why it was necessary, but it doesn't seem to be. So if you're not going to pay it off, then maybe that's a good part to maybe cut it or try to make that point in a different way. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not a screenplay writer, so I don't know how they would do it, but I get it that it annoyed you, for example, you know?
I mean, I was quite surprised when you said for you, it brings out the best of Bollywood in terms of, like, the spectacle and then the story. For me, it signified the worst of Bollywood in terms of just pure one-dimensionalism, pure, like, right, we have all of this money, let's try and, you know, make it look as amazing as possible, but, you know, just, you know, one-dimensional characters with no, you know, sort of motivation, and so unlikable. I couldn't find one likable aspect about a single character in there. Why they would fall in love other than being very attractive, which is typically Bollywood. Why they would have this epic sort of, like, you know, very, very pretty to look at, battle scene and everything, when all it is really doing is repeating exactly, well, actually precursing what comes up in the modern day and everything. There's, it just felt like, okay, it's not as bad as Rohit Shetty. I'd say I'd got angry in Rohit Shetty. It's not as bad. But I would still sort of like, say that it was kind of like, okay, so Rohit Shetty is Michael Bay. I would say this felt like Zack Snyder in terms of, like, yeah, just spectacle and just sort of like, but in terms of actually having any kind of heart, you know, to actually see how Romeo and Juliet story is done well, I mean, even Devdas, I know that it's got a lot of love for it and everything, I still don't feel that had the heart, or you know,
I didn't like Devdas. I loved Dev D much better, Anurag Kashyap's Dev D, than Devdas. Yeah,
it just feels very pretty but without any heart.
Okay.
And that's why I'm a big fan of Rajkumar Hirani, and because, you know, it's just it's all about story, and, you know, different people go to the cinema for different reasons. For me,
how do you stand on Rakesh Om Prakash's other movie that he's made? Like, how do you see him as a filmmaker?
See, I was going to bring that up, because when you were bringing up his list and everything, I was like, wow, he has the same problem in every one of the films of his.
Yeah, because that's interesting. That's something that I find interesting. Like Rang De Basanti and.
Actually, Rang De Basanti I really enjoyed, other than that one, moral that I really didn't agree with, which is that patriotism is more important than your own family, which, I won't ruin it for anybody who's not seen it. But yeah, when that happened in the film, I was just like, right, I don't like this anymore. it was a really extreme way to show that your love for your country should be more than your love for your own family. And, I completely disagree with that. With his other films, it's just, its structure. I know that he tries to do something different with it, but, you know, in terms of just introducing all of these parallel stories, I feel that it completely ruins the flow of his films. Even with, and like, unfulfilled conclusions with, what was that? Run, Lola, Run.
Hog, Milk of Hog.
You know, it just had this thing that was set at the beginning of just like, but why doesn't he want to go back to Pakistan and everything? And it just has the most unfulfilling conclusion to
that. That's a really bad payoff, I feel, for in Bhag Me Mar. I didn't like that movie too much.
I enjoyed it. I just didn't think, you know, it deserved all the accolades that I got. And then what was the other one? Delhi Six. Again, the tone for that was all over the place. It was sort of like, oh, you know, it was supposed to be a satire, I guess, but just in terms of like the tone just being really uneven. He has, at least in Delhi Six, he had a really good message to say, even though it wasn't perfectly delivered. He had something to say.
I still love Delhi Six, and I think it's one of those movies that I've come back to and appreciated much more than I'd see. There's a few of these movies, like even Jhoom Barabar Jhoom. I don't know if you know that, like Preeti Zinta's in it and Abhishek. like, there's a few of these movies that I kind of came back to, and when I rewatched them, I really appreciated it. And Delhi Six is one of those. I really love the message that it has in it. But I agree with you that I think it, maybe the timing wasn't right, or, you know, the tone was a bit uneven. People were maybe not expecting us, because it's a satire more than anything, right? And maybe that's, there's some certain genres that don't necessarily work that well.
I think the genre is great. It's the same problem I had with Dhobi Ghat as well. That was another satire. And I think that, you know, they deliver these lovely films and everything and then just end it on this really weird downbeat ending that it just doesn't need that. It just seems very polemic and like, see, this is what's happening, rather than just letting a viewer come to their own conclusion.
Do you mean Peepli Live or Dhobi Ghat?
Sorry, Peepli Live.
Yeah, Peepli Live. Yeah, because what you're describing, see, yeah, Peepli was like that. Yeah, and I agree with you there too. Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting, man. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. No, because I do feel that there's a, clearly this is a Rakesh Om Prakash movie, and which I don't necessarily feel that about Bhag Milka Bhag that much. Because that's the one I feel is the outlier out of all of these, but I feel, because it's a biopic, I mean, you know, it's like, when people say, I've had the best pizza in the world, I'm like, always like, dude, it's a pizza, it's, you know, it's bread with stuff on it, like, how good can you really be, you know, like, it's the same thing with a biopic. It's a good biopic.
You've not been to Popolino's. Popolino's has the best pizza in the world. Get down to Manchester, they better get me a free pizza for this plug.
Go down to Manchester to get the best pizza and play the worst pitch ever. None of that sounds appealing to me.
It's worth it. £5 student pizza and nothing beats it.
Dude, come down to mine, man. I'll make you a good pizza. I rob pizzas. but anyway, so it's just that a biopic, how good can a biopic be? So, but yeah, there's definitely that, you know, that contrast and juxtaposition that he did in Rang De Basanti, he does the same thing here again, where he's intercutting the past or another segment of the movie with what's going on and being a bit on the nose sometimes. In Rang De Basanti, here he's just, it's the same, retreading the same beats. The arrows become bullets, the horses become bikes, you know, so a lot of that is kind of the same. But I don't know. I still like that. I also, what was a shame though, I felt bad about the actor playing the prince. His name is Anuj Chaudhary. Yeah. Like, clearly the moment he walks in screen, you know this guy is gonna, you know, be the loser out of this whole thing. But like, cause he's the one. Like, he loses the most, and I never felt that he was the villain, although the movie makes him out to be the villain almost. And I felt that was a bit unfair. That could have been something that, you know, we're just kind of in a modern day era, so I don't know. I just feel nobody should have gotten shot. Maybe like at the end,
no,
of like there was a need.
No, it's just we talked about it like in our previous podcast and everything. The more that you do of something, the less it becomes. The more that somebody cries, the less effective it becomes when the next person cries. Here, it's just like, yeah, people just keep getting shot one after the other, after the other, after the other. It's like, oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. It's just like, yeah, and yeah, it just, that whole sort of like lack of empathy of just like, oh, it's cool if you, you know, no spoilers. But yeah, just the fact that, you know, that the characters just have so little heart that they're ready for the world to burn just for their love. I guess it's poetic to be like that, but yeah, I don't have any.
I also think like the way what they were trying to do is also kind of this discussion about privilege, right? Like he comes from a royal family and he feels his ego is hurt or something like that, but he just never felt like that guy. He just never felt like, you know, like he was rich and he wanted certain things a certain way, but he never felt like a bad guy. Like, no. You know, so I never felt it never felt that their marriage with Suchi was like written in stone or, you know, like, I don't know, the stakes never got high enough to reach the point that they, you know, that they reached at the end of the movie. But I think it's just because they are retelling the story in a modern way, but I think there might have been more elements to make it modern or make it, you know, acknowledge that we're in a different world. Like, also, Suchi never seemed the kind of girl that would, you know,
cheat.
I don't know, just felt like she seemed like a straight talking chick. Like, I don't feel like, why would she get pressured into this marriage if she didn't want to? Like, her dad loves her, he adores her. There's a few scenes that really kind of got to me as a dad of a, you know, of a daughter, that like how close he was braiding her hair. It was beautifully shot. I love that he was braiding her hair and like reciting Shakespeare with her. It was so beautiful. You know, he calls her little Shakespeare, and when he's, you know, he's hurt, like when he realizes what's going on, like the dialogue is beautiful again by Gulzar, but then he kind of like falls back and stumbles in a drunk stupor, and I felt that beat was a bit too much.
Typically,
so it felt cartoonish, and I felt like the way Art Malik does it, it just doesn't work for me. It just feels like an actor from another world coming in there.
That was a directing thing, though. I don't think that just shouldn't happen. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm drunk and I'm gonna fall to the ground.
Yeah. I've never been drunk, so I don't even know if people fall like that. But I don't know. Just felt, no, they don't, right? I've heard they don't fall like that, so that was a bit rough. But but yeah, like getting back to the positives, Gulzar, right? His like I don't know, like, because I interviewed Rakesh Om Prakash Mehra about this movie, and I'll be posting this probably before the review, so people will probably have already heard it. And he was just saying that, look, so Gulzar is his neighbor, and he just goes over to him and has tea with him, and they have these discussions like, you know, Gulzar bhai, why do you think Sahiba broke Mirza's arrows? And I was like, man, this is awesome. You could just walk over to Gulzar, have some chai, and, you know, start talking about these, like, super deep conversations about poetry and folklore. And the guy just, you know, like, weaves the story with, like, beautiful lyrics and dialogues. And there's this word that he uses. She's describing how he used to ride the bicycle. And she uses the word farate. And it was just, like, you don't even hear that word. It's just so beautiful. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Even my Urdu isn't that great, but I think it's farate. It's just beautiful. Like, you don't hear these kind of things. And I feel it's unfortunate that language is getting lost. The appreciation of language is getting lost. I mean, both Ranveer Singh and Varun are probably the leading Bollywood actors at this moment, and both of them are unable to properly pronounce dialogue. they both have all, like, even, you know, they have kind of almost like a speech impediment or something. They're not able to dialogue, like, you know, deliver a dialogue, and that's kind of a shame. I even remember Amitabh says that about Abhishek, that he just doesn't speak enough Hindi to be able to, you know, because we're all just raised in English, and it's just kind of, we've kind of lost that appreciation a little bit. And reading subtitles and reading, you know, watching it in a theater this way, it just does not translate. I was sitting there with a few Western critics, and because the dialogue, even it translated, it's a very good translation, but it just doesn't approximate the beauty of the original language. And well, Gulzar is writing, it just showers you with, you know, beautiful words, beautiful phrases, and it's a shame, you know, that it doesn't do it justice enough, I feel.
I mean, I don't usually, in terms of, like, all I talk about story and everything, showing how much depth I have, in terms of poetry and art, I'm so shallow. Yeah. I can't appreciate, you know, I don't appreciate poetry and art as much as many connoisseurs do and everything, because, yeah, it takes time to actually, you know, read into the depth of something and stuff like that, whilst as, ADD generation, you just want to like consume and entertain and everything. But coming back to Farate, there is a song called Nachan Farate
Marke. Nachan Farate, with Sonam, right? Isn't it with
Sonam? I think it's, what's her name? Sonakshi.
Sonakshi, right. Sonakshi, yeah.
Yeah, so it's happening. And then in terms of like the actors that are like not saying dialogue, I guess, for somebody who listens to Hindi, I do listen to Hindi from my parents a lot, and uncles and aunties. But yeah, I've never noticed that they can't speak properly. It's never been a big issue for me and everything. But
no, it's not an issue. But also, the movies that they've chosen to do doesn't require any of that. Like, any movie that they've done, none of it has like beautiful poetic language, I feel.
Amar Ojan, was that, like, I never saw the remake of it, but was that quite poetic? Or
I don't even necessarily like Pakiza, Mughal-e Azam, and all those kind of movies, you know? It's not something that I, you know... but it's like just Qadir Khan, remember? I mean, Qadir Khan used to write beautiful Urdu dialogue in his movies, like Mukaddar Ka Sikandar, you know, like those things that he says, like... Gham Tera Saati Hai, you know? It's just beautiful, like the things he used to say. And... that I miss. I don't feel necessarily... there's like, Edil-e Mushkil has beautiful Urdu poetry in it. Rockstar had it, but it's mostly in the songs. In the movie itself, there's not that much, I feel. And Gulzar himself hasn't written a screenplay for, like, I think 15 years or something like that. So it's been a while, you know? So I just appreciated having a bit of that, you know? And I do love our folklore stories, and I kind of like that it's being presented to it. And it's just a shame that, you know, we'll go watch Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, which is an old English, but we won't, you know, appreciate our own folklores in a way. And just because we have a kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily feel it's an inferiority complex or anything like that. I think it's just we've lost a bit of, you know, that part of the culture, I feel.
I mean, there is definitely, you know, there's a lot of Hindu mythology and stories that sort of, like, get updated and presented. So, yeah, you're right. It is refreshing to sort of, like, have one which isn't just fully, you know, Hindu and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just sort of, like, see, it doesn't matter whether it's mythology or folk tales or whatever, but in terms of, like, adapting something for screen, I can understand that, yes, stick to the main parts, but there is nothing stopping you from just making a better tale, or, you know, just actually introducing some depth where there wasn't depth before, and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, join the dots completely. That's...
I think the conflict is set in the folklore, but you can adapt that conflict to modern day era, and I think that's something that they didn't necessarily do in this movie. They didn't update the conflicts and what's at stake necessarily for these people, and I think maybe that is something. It's really an exact retelling in today's world, and I think that is something that maybe people can kind of, you know, not enjoy that much. I did, but I think what else positive wise? The songs. Oh. What did you think about the Greek chorus and all? Like,
I thought they were good. They came out of the blue a lot, yeah. Which was very, that wasn't required. And again, tonally, even though they were really good songs, they just came in really depressing parts of the film. And it's just like, why would you put this here? It's like, I want to dance along and enjoy it, but this is a really depressing part of the film. And yeah, that did not need that every time to accentuate. Yeah. This is the time that you should... You know, this is the film you're watching. Remember his name. Yeah, it just didn't need that. But no, it was good music.
Yeah. I don't think any of the songs were lip-sung.
No.
And that's kind of... I think Rakesh Mehra really wanted it that way. None of it is lip-sung in the classical way.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's something that because they want to maybe cross over or make it, you know. I don't think this movie can cross over. I don't think it can. The folklore itself is something that, you know, other people just don't know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I fear for that. If that was the reason why they didn't lip sync or something like that, but I don't. Yeah, I like the songs. I don't necessarily think the implementation of them in the movie were 100% correct. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were beautiful songs. Like, Ave de Hitchki is beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of like techno tracks that they have, are really cool. And it's not the kind of music that you would usually enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really well done in it. What else did I really like? I really liked Anjali Patel.
Which one? Is she the girl? Or?
Yeah, she's the girl that's playing
the young one.
No, she's the
oh,
mom,
the
other mom, the young mom that lost her husband, and she's
oh, got it. Yes, she was very good.
Yeah,
actually, I can't understand why Hirsch didn't go for her instead. She was lovely.
Yeah.
Was it just because she's sort of like a widow? That's no reason not to.
No, I think he's just
an idiot.
No, he's just in love with, you know, Saiba. I think there's no, and like Saiba was in love with Mirza, you know, like there's, you forget, you other things kind of come up, but the love there, and I think that's why I kind of don't mind that the moment that they realized who's in front of them, that the past and the feelings of that time just come back, and everything else kind of just falls in the background. It becomes noise. I kind of get that, and the thing is, like, our love stories are so passionate, you know. There's this blinding passion in our emotions, you know, and it can. A lot of times it can turn into negativity, like, you know, stalkerism, or, you know, if it's one-sided, you know, obsession. But there is this, if it works and there's consent on both sides, there is this sense of beauty and just losing yourself in love. Like, you know, this Sufi idea of just losing yourself, it has some beauty in it. And it has some poeticism in it. But again, the problem is now, because you're transporting it to a modern era, it feels weird, because it's now, we don't, you know...
Not if it's natural. If it naturally comes, then it's fine. I mean, A, why wouldn't he, you know, as soon as he escapes and everything from the prison, why wouldn't he go and see her if he's so madly in love with her to make sure that she's okay and leave it so many years to just by coincidence end up in the same place and be teaching her how to ride a horse? And B, how would she not recognize him? How would they not, you know, like, in all of that time and everything, if you really love somebody?
He recognized her. He was waiting for her at the airport, even, you know? He was waiting for her. He saw her with another guy. I think, you know, he's been waiting for her for 20 years, and the first time he sees her, she's coming back, he sees her with another guy. So I think...
What if she never arrived? What if she ended up moving to London and stuff? What kind of heart is that?
I think that's kind of I think he probably kind of felt betrayed by her. Like, he escapes jail to come get her, and when he arrives, she's gone. She's not there. There's no explanation. They're kids, you know? Like, as a kid, like, I don't know if you had that, but as a kid, like, a friend moves to another city suddenly, you have no contact with them whatsoever.
Did it show him go back, though? Did it show him look for her?
I mean, my assumption is he did. Like, why would he not? You know, like, it wasn't
said. We don't know that.
But I think it's also not a coincidence that he is where he is. I think he's waiting for her there.
Because he knows that she's going to marry a millionaire prince man?
Yeah, I think he does.
Like, 15 years in the future from when he's under 15?
No, I think it was the only way he could probably see her or get close to her. And there was always the feeling that he was inferior to her, and it was also very, like, I liked how it was also like the body language of all the actors. There was always the guy that was inferior was shorter than the guy that was superior, and that was throughout every, when Anjali and Saimi are talking to each other, Saimi is just towering over Anjali. When Art Malik is speaking with Harsh, Art is just so much taller than he is, and there was always that, you know, contrast between just, you know, physical dominance too. So I just felt he was just like, you know, meekly waiting for her, and when she does come back, she's with some other guy, and he totally realizes, and he's also just, he just has a lot of anger, I guess, you know, like, I don't know how Harsh as an actor can portray that as well, but I think the character, the way it's written on the page, that's how I saw it, at least, that he's just angry that he lost everything for this girl, and this girl just left him. And then when she comes back, she's with somebody else and seems to have forgotten about her. And then, but when she does start talking about him nonstop, it's just that, that weird feeling. I think she doesn't recognize him because they're grown up, they're different. They also, you know, because they're not in the same context anymore, you don't necessarily recognize somebody until
a week of being with that person, but I think talking about that person.
I think that's why she's talking about it. I think that's why she's talking about this friend of hers, because he does remind her, or there's something, that there's a connection there. And when she does realize it, there's no stopping them, pretty much. Maybe I'm just justifying what I saw.
It's just very coincidental of just like, he can look into the future and be like, she's going to come to this place and she's going to marry this guy, and I will make my own little living as a horse rider, and then I'm going to teach her how to ride a horse, and then this will all happen and I'll win her back. And it's just like, it just really trite. But going back to adaptations, though, one person who I do think still hasn't done it perfectly but does probably the best in Bollywood is Vishal Bhardwaj, in terms of like what he does with Shakespeare. Like, he doesn't just sort of like paint it by numbers, but sets it in a place where those stories will come to life, sets it in a political area where it has relevance. I think Rakesh Om Prakash should have taken some lessons from that and been like, right, what is there going on today that I can really have something new to say? Because if you've got nothing new to say, what is the point of making a film?
Yeah.
Unless it's the other guys, in which case it's pure entertainment.
Yeah, you know, I think Vishal Bhardwaj, he does an amazing job with adapting these Shakespearean plays. I think that the advantage, though, is that Shakespearean plays are proper plays, whereas these folklore stories are like 5-minute stories most of the time. You know, there's just not that much content to them. You can stretch them out as much as you want, but I don't remember any of those big lines, you know, any lines or quotable from these folklores, where, you know, Shakespeare has tons of these things that you can use. And, you know, like, even if you think of Heather, there's a whole monologue that he just lifted from Hamlet and put it in there, right? It was Hamlet, right? So, I mean, there's nothing in the folklore stories that can be just transported that way. So you have a weaker kind of base to base your screenplay, I guess. But I do get that he does more effort into making, contemporizing it or setting it in a different setting. But I think, again, those Shakespearean plays have been doing that forever. That's how Shakespeare has been always brought to the audience, yeah. I feel, you know, it's adapting it. It's even what Baz Luhrmann does to a certain degree, you know.
And, but even Shakespeare is like really, you know, got far too many ingredients in it. If you actually check out Shakespeare plays, it's got like the love story guy, and then it's got these, you know, cutaways to comedians and their own thing.
Yeah.
So even they're not fully structured. But what Vishal Bhardwaj does, he basically just says what's the main story and sticks to it. Whilst as, for example, Mirza just feels like, let's put some dal in here, let's put karai in here, let's put some pizza in here, let's put some sushi in here, and mix it all up and everything, and then you know, like, people just, yeah, it's just kind of like a Jimmy's buffet of, like, different kinds of, you know, and stuff, and just, like, people will enjoy it, just, yeah, let them take away, but, yeah, you just, you don't get to really taste anything, because it keeps on switching from one thing to another, and again, because it's one dimensional, they're really bland things. So why not just go to the restaurant that does one thing and does it really well?
No, I get your point. I don't necessarily feel it the same way, but I get your points. Like I get if you weren't, if within that first 20 minutes you're not on board of the movie, it's going to be a rough ride. Like I get that, you know.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, I think because this review is going to be out when the movie comes out, let's just keep it spoiler free, I guess. I mean, if you know the folklore, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty details too much. So let's just say final words on Mirza. Should people go out and watch it? Should they, for what reason should they go, or what reason should they not go, for example?
Okay, for me, I would say no. Don't go watch it unless you appreciate like beautiful landscapes and want to see Rajasthan in a beautiful light. Then, yeah, if you enjoyed 300, you'll enjoy this. But if you like story, if you want to see a proper heartbreaking kind of like story of star-crossed lovers, rewatch Gayamasa Gayamaduk. It has been better.
On my end, I think you should watch, if you watch it, if you are really excited for this movie, watch it on the big screen. Like,
yes.
I don't think this will, if you don't like it, don't even bother watching it at home. You're gonna miss, like, you know, 50% of the effect that the movie has, and I think it's really one of those big canvas movies that you need to watch there. Get the biggest possible screen, give IMAX if that exists or whatever. I think the movie looks beautiful, the soundtrack is amazing, the songs at least, not the way it's used all the time. I think Sayami here's performance is great. I liked her a lot. Harsh needs a bit of work, but I think just the curiosity factor that Bollywood audience sometimes had, like how does the son look and stuff like that. I think there's a bit of that balance between, you know, emulating the dad and still trying to do something new. I think he still needs a bit of work, so I'm looking forward to what he does with Bhavesh Joshi. I get your remark about nepotism too, but what else? I like the folklore story as much as I did, you know, Romeo and Juliet or whatever. I like this more than Ram Leela. I like this more than Bajirao Mastani. I think I told you that yesterday. You might think I'm totally crazy for saying that. it has a bit of that Ishaqzade dusty India Wild West look, which I like. I like that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, and that looks good. It works well on the big screen.
Yeah. And I did like, I thought it was beautifully shot. I didn't mind the slow motions that much. I really thought it was beautiful. Like, just these little touches, like the arrow points being blue, matching with the Saiban's eyes because she's wearing blue contact lenses, and then the Ladakh sky on the background. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just really liked it. I don't also know what those shooting birds were that they were shooting.
I had no idea.
I thought that was really cool.
I think that's what they had back in the day and everything. Yeah. I think that's what they used. Yeah. But yeah, it was very random.
Yeah, I have a feeling they were more authentic to the period than Mohenjo-daro was. I think they did a bit more work in that sense. I think if you, any of that sounds interesting to you, then you should go watch it. Otherwise, yeah, Like, honestly, if by the interval point you're not in, just go and grab a coffee and don't come back, honestly. That's how I would, you know, like, don't sit through 3 hours if you're just going to hate it, you know.
I was so tempted to do that.
Yeah.
I did think to myself, I was like, should I just go and get a coffee? Would that be really disrespectful?
It would be.
Yeah. Write your review of, like, 10 minutes of a film. Bad.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's it for Mirzia on this podcast, at least. Shyman, where can people find more of your awesome work?
ShaiHussain.com. I guess that's probably it. ShaiHussain.com. Oh, I've got a new mix coming out this... well, actually, it will have come out already by the time this goes up. But yeah, it's on the Bobby Fiction show on BBC Asia Network. So yeah, they can have a listen to that. That's one of my proudest achievements this year so far. So
that's really cool. Yeah. And it's available on iPlayer, I imagine, right?
Or, yeah, I reckon it'll be available for the next month or so,
yeah, cool.
I'd say. So I'll post about it. But in the meantime, let's go find Aurangzeb and you can cook some food for me.
Yeah, we need to get our one dish party sorted, right? With all of us together, we need to do that. I'm Asim Birnie. You've been listening to You Podcast. Drop us an email at youpodcasting@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, which is probably the best way. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoyed the other podcast that I will be uploading before this podcast. So I'm kind of like traveling in the future. But yeah, leave us a comment if you liked or you didn't like the movie. And thanks for listening, guys. Woohoo!